As the United States tries to hurt Iran economically after failing to bend its leaders through 6 months of military strikes, everyday Iranians say they're the ones feeling the impact. Scott Peterson reports on how Iranians struggle day to day in a broken economy while the country's leaders deflect the blame. Among our other stories today, how Silicon Valley leaders are touting space as the solution to data center angst. Also in Côte d'Ivoire, people hope what could soon be Africa's tallest building is actually a shimmering symbol of the country's future. And with U.S. energy demands growing, nuclear reactors on the scale of a shipping container rather than Three Mile Island are drawing attention. A note, in yesterday's intro, we misstated a writer's location while reporting our story on Crimea. He was in Kyiv, Ukraine. It's Wednesday, September 2nd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Chris Sherman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Germany concluded that Russia was responsible for a recent attempted sabotage attack at an airport. An explosive-laden drone was defused on August 4th after being found in a secure area of Leipzig-Halle Airport near Ukrainian cargo aircraft. German Foreign Minister Johann Wadephul said the drone's components and explosives matched those used by Russia in hybrid operations and its war against Ukraine. Berlin is seeking European Union sanctions and shut Russia's Bonn consulate in retaliation. A Postal Service whistleblower expressed concerns about a new mail-in ballot system. In a disclosure to Congress, an anonymous federal employee described how a new U.S. Postal Service system could result in large numbers of voters not receiving mail ballots. The agency has been building the system to comply with an executive order from President Donald Trump restricting the mailing of ballots to voters on a pre-approved list submitted by states. The disclosure, made public on Tuesday, says that the Postal Service has been building a fundamentally flawed online portal to screen ballots. For example, the whistleblower wrote, if one barcode on a mail ballot doesn't properly scan, then an entire batch of 10,000 ballots would not be sent to voters. Also, violent crime in the U.S. fell dramatically last year. The FBI released a report in August detailing a 9.3% decrease in violent crime between 2024 and 2025, the steepest drop since 1936, the first year the Bureau started collecting crime data. The report assessed 13 million reported incidents of crime nationwide and chronicled an 18% decrease in murder and non-negligent manslaughter offenses. The murder rate of 4.1 per 100,000 inhabitants is the lowest such figure on record since 1955 to 1956. Rape, robbery, property crime, and aggravated assaults were also down. The report did not analyze or explain the reasons for the declines. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Iran's economy was in ruins even before the war, and before U.S. President Donald Trump's latest D-Day sanctions. So far, ordinary Iranians are bearing the brunt and feeling apathetic, meaning surviving leaders for now might face a lower risk of an uprising. Scott Peterson reports from London for The Monitor. Government shutdowns are becoming more common, but the desire to avoid a potential impasse before the midterms motivated Congress to keep the government funded into early December. Caitlin Babcock reports from Washington for The Monitor. Americans don't want data centers in their backyard. So, major U.S. tech companies are moving to build them in space. Aaron Glantz reports from San Francisco for The Monitor. Amid high electricity costs and evolving U.S. energy needs, a utility that has long been an object of protest presents an alternative to fossil fuels. Small-scale nuclear reactors are drawing interest as stable, economically feasible power generators. Donald Keough reports for The Monitor. Around the world, super tall buildings are often an announcement of a country's ambitions. Think New York, Dubai, Kuala Lumpur, and now Abidjan. Colette Davidson reports from Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Israel's politics are pivoting to shared good health. Yoav Segalovich, a Zionist politician from a centrist Jewish party, shook up Israeli politics on Monday. He announced he would run in the October 27th parliamentary elections as a top-tier candidate with Ra'am, a party representing Israel's large Arab population. His surprise leap across a deep social divide could help Ra'am win enough seats in the Knesset to influence who becomes the next prime minister, possibly shifting Israel's role in the Middle East. A recent poll showed that more than half of voters who oppose the current government would support including Ra'am with Mr. Segalovich in a possible coalition. While such political leverage remains to be seen, it was Mr. Segalovich's reasons for joining Ra'am, an abbreviation for United Arab List, that also caught much of the public's attention. The former police commander, who is widely admired for reducing crimes against Israeli Arabs, said he wants to challenge the assertion that a Jewish-Arab partnership is impossible after the October 7, 2023 massacre by Hamas. "I explicitly want to break the paradigm of the dividing lines and the lines of discourse," he said. Even more extraordinary was a vision he invoked that would lift Israeli identity above race, religion, and ethnicity to a transcending interest in healing, particularly within a community of healthcare workers. "The future model for Israel," he said, "is familiar to anyone who enters the doors of an Israeli hospital. There, a person sheds the narratives and identities they carry. There, first and foremost, human beings meet. Patients, doctors, nurses, administrative staff, families, everyone is equal. That is the place where we are all human beings, and that is where we will begin." He also noted that more than 34 members of the Arab community were killed in the October 7th attack. In addition, many Israelis have taken pride in their country's assistance to ill or wounded Palestinians during Israel's war against Hamas by evacuating them for treatment outside Gaza. In many countries that are in either war or political strife, a shared focus on collaborative care and healing often provides a neutral civic space that can bridge differences and create feelings of belonging. That has been true in places from Northern Ireland to South Sudan. In Jerusalem, the Hadassah hospitals provide an experience of equal dignity and an opportunity for reconciliation and security between Jews and Palestinians. It is in those institutions of healing that Mr. Segalovich finds a model for Israel. "There is a shared future. That shared future exists in every area of life," he said. "And one starting point can be the universal compassion for the health of other people, which might serve as an anchor for harmony among Israelis." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how obeying God's statutes in our own lives helps open the way for others to do the same. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas and Noel Flatt.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.